Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning and welcome back to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci and myself. And we are back with another show. Yes, and it's going to be a big one. And we are talking, now when I say big, we're talking huge. Absolutely huge monster of a show. even more hugely monstrous than most of our shows. But I will let Jonna Spilbor explain to you what we're going to be talking about with our guest. And Jonna, you said that you've been absolutely fascinated by reading his book.
The phrase I used, Frankenberry, off the air is that I am blown away, which is probably why you credit this show with the potential to be a really big shoe, like a really big
Yes, Ed Sullivan would be proud.
So let me tell you, so we're going to talk a little later on in the show with an author. He's an author, he's a yogi, he's a spiritual guide, for lack of a better word, and I'm really not using the correct word, but his name is John Ruskin, and he's written a couple of books, and the one we're going to dive into today is called Deep Clearing. Balance your emotions, let go of inner and outer negativity, shift to higher consciousness. Now, why is this book blowing me away? I'm going to tell you, well, I'll give you a tease because we'll save the real discussion for John. But, you know, Carol and I are avid self-help junkies. And we know, Frankenberry, that you, not so much. But for those who are...
not so much? Okay, keep going.
Those who are self-help junkies know that many, many, many gurus and experts in this area will give you a technique where you essentially change your thoughts if you want to change your world, right? And they'll say that it's all about how you think. And if you change the way you think, you can change your reality. And there, I believe there is definitely substance to that. John Ruskin, our guest today, who's written Deep Clearing, kind of turns that on his head, and he gives us an alternate view of how you can really change your life. And he goes on to say that it's not just about changing your thoughts. No, no, no. You've got to change your energy. So it come when you change what's going on within, that's how you change what's happening without. And it's really, really fascinating to me. And it's, we're going to take as deep a dive as we can in 20 minutes, but it's really something that you're going to be fascinated by, I'm sure, as I am. So that'll be coming up after the break. Author, yogi extraordinaire John Ruskin and his book Deep Clearing.
That sounds good. And just to let our audience know, by the way, this is the first time that Jonna has logged into our Zoom sessions here
as herself.
Yes, with a picture of herself, no less, and some fancy hair. And it looks like from one of your a shot from maybe one of your television appearances, because you're like famous and stuff.
Indeed, it is from one of my television appearances. But I am rather upset because I am logging in from my iPad device instead of my usual laptop, and I was not given the opportunity to create a fake persona for today's Zoom. If I had been, I would have been Dracula on account of I did have my blood drawn this morning, as I do regularly, to determine how long I'm going to live and what I need to continue to live that long. So that's what I would have done because that's fresh. The Band-Aid is still in the crook of my arm as we record the show.
Yeah, nothing
better
than...
So you would have shown up as Dracula?
Yes. Okay. But let me tell you something else. I mean, and this, again, is kind of coincidental, but I got to tell you something else that I bought and am using. Carol, you might, again, maybe you already have one. But it kind of goes along with a little bit of what the show topic is today. And so for Valentine's Day, which was middle of last week, I purchased for my much younger significant other, but really kind of also for me, because it's one of those gifts that I'm going to use it too. So it was kind of a dual purpose gift. I bought something called a grounding mat for the bed. It's a king size grounding mat that you put on your bed. Then you put the sheets and stuff over it. It does get plugged into the wall. And while you sleep, this grounding mat grounds you.
Sorry.
Is somebody laughing?
No, I'm not laughing about a mat that you bought for your bed that's going to protect you from lightning. I have no idea what the hell is a grounding mat?
I'm glad you asked.
Oh, yes. Curly. Please explain.
Curly, are you familiar with grounding mats at all?
I'm not familiar with grounding mats, but if I'm guessing it has something to do with like being at the ocean with the negative ions or a salt lamp, because when we're charged up and we're giving off too much energy, or when we go walk barefoot on the earth, we ground ourselves. We neutralize negative ions. Is that what this is about?
Holy cow. You came up with all of that just off the top of your freaking head?
Well, it's just something I know.
Oh, my Lord. I love you.
This is why we love the ocean, because it grounds us. It neutralizes that charged energy. So does barefoot walking on the earth and salt lamps.
John. You are so smart. You are smart.
Come on now.
Please.
Yeah, so smart. Yes. Yeah, so
that's what it does.
So that's essentially what it does, which I did not know either. Like, I had to study what this whole grounding thing is about, because I kind of started exploring it, I don't know, a couple of months ago. And it's hard to tell if you are being grounded. But I was reading this book called Earthing, and that's what you're supposed to do. Like, every morning you're supposed to go walk out barefoot or your front door or whatever, put your feet in the grass, put your face to the sun, and do that for a few minutes, because that grounds you and essentially turns your body alkaline, which is kind of the state that you want to be in, and discharges all the negative ions. But there's an added bonus positive. To this, you guys. Would you say?
It neutralizes the positive.
It somehow neutralizes you so that you're not, what's the word I'm looking for?
All charged up.
Yeah, bingo. But it's really interesting because I've been using this grounding mat, and I swear, like, some people say they sleep better with it. Some people say that physically, like, if you have any aches and pains, after a night or two on the grounding mat, that those aches and pains go away, because aches and pains are caused by an imbalance. And this really helps, balance you. What I am finding, and this is freaky, like completely freaky, is that it is supercharging my brain. Like, I have had the most incredible, like, aha moments and ideas since I have been sleeping on this grounding mat. I feel like, do you guys remember that movie? Oh, crap. Michael Keaton, I don't know if it was Night Shift, where he's like, I'm an idea man. He's like, I want to create edible paper. Yeah, here's one. Put the mayonnaise in the tuna can. Like, yes. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, cut out the middleman. I'm Billy Blaze. You're Chuck, right?
Well, that's exactly. Now I got to go watch that movie again. But I was reminded that every day I wake up, and I swear to God, you guys, I have had like a tremendous, like just one amazing ideas. And I'm writing all of these down. Like, they're just... It's like my brain is, the creative part of my brain is on fire. So,
well, plus you're taking the mind hack from Magu.
And I'm taking that. Right. So I got the double whammy. And I did do a little research, and it does say that each person can experience something a little different from utilizing these grounding mats. And you can use, like, mine's big, it covers the whole bed, but you can have them that are smaller. You can carry it around. You can bring it to the office. You can put it on your chair. You can sit on it all day. Ground your butt. You can stand on it for a few minutes when you start.
And your butt will come up with some good ideas.
Right. But I swear, I know it sounds all hocus pocus, but there's something to it, you guys. There is really something to it. Call me crazy.
Okay.
And is your much younger significant other experiencing anything different?
Yes. He said, now he's not getting the whole, fluid thought thing, but he said, aches and pains and vitality and how he feels physically, 10 times better.
Whoa.
Yep. And they're not even that expensive. But the whole thing is, I was skeptical initially because I'm like, it doesn't light up. You don't feel anything. It's not like it's vibrating or buzzing or anything like that. You have no idea. It just feels like a regular sheet. And so you don't really know if it's on, if it's working. You have to test your outlet to make sure that the outlet is grounded or this grounding mat won't work. And then you plug it in and you forget about it. And that's it.
All right. Well, you need to send me the link to the one that you got, because there's a ton on Amazon, but they don't all have the best reviews.
There is a ton, right? And I think, and guess what? I didn't even get this on Amazon. That's how I got it, at a whole different website. I will send you that link, because I'm just loving it. And I don't know, and maybe this is something. It's so interesting, because we're talking to John Ruskin today, because I don't know if I'm making this up, like in my head, if it's just thoughts, but he seems to think that thoughts don't fix anything. So now I'm really thinking that there's something more to this grounding that I'm experiencing.
Now, is it possible that this is more of just a placebo effect, and what they've sent you is like some nonsensical thing that you plug into a wall that doesn't actually work, but they've told how it will?
That's
possible, but who cares if she's getting the result? Who cares if it's real or not, right?
And by the way, do not tell me how much you paid for it, because if you say that it didn't cost that much, that's all relative, Jonna Spielberg.
Jonna World and our world.
Yes, Jonna World. Yes, exactly. And Jonna World, it didn't cost that much, can often be a crap load.
No, genuinely, in everybody's world, I will say this, it did not cost three figures. So there, it was under $100.
Oh, nice.
By a penny. It was still under $100. Oh, I have to do a Segu. I have to do a mid-chit-chat Segu, speaking of price. Because also last weekend, did you guys watch the Super Bowl?
No.
I kept checking for the halftime show and then watched that, and that was it.
I had absolutely no interest whatsoever. I was in bed by 6 o'clock.
Oh, well, normally that's me. Like, I don't really care about football or Super Bowl anyway, but I happened to be watching it. And I found out after the Super Bowl that Taylor Swift, who's dating what's his face from whatever team that is,
Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
On the Chiefs, the one who got into a fight with the coach on the sidelines during the game. I read all about it. Yeah.
Oh, you read all about it. But,
Well, I read the next day. Yeah. I mean, I was still curious as to who won the game. I didn't care to watch it. But
I've seen his face yelling at his coach, too. But that's not where I'm going with this. Although, so I don't know anything about this Travis. Frankly, between us, I don't even think he's that hot. But whatever. That's not my taste. Whatever. That's fine. So the other thing that I read about after the show is that Taylor Swift, they broke down her entire outfit. And she was wearing a pair of jeans that I said to myself, oh, my God, I gotta get me a pair of those jeans. They were awesome. They had like little slits in the front. A lot of my jeans have slits kind of like on the legs, but they were bedazzled. The slits were bedazzled. And the back of the jeans are stiff.
You have to be rolling your eyes right now. Oh, God, I wish I could see you.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I'm not going to turn the video on. You don't need to see that.
We can feel the eye roll.
I had to have the pants with the bedazzled slits.
The bedazzled slits. But that's not even the best part, you guys. The best part is that the back of the jeans has a big, it's stitched in the shape of a heart. So like it goes from your left leg up, curves around your butt, then your right leg, it curves around your butt and goes down your right leg and then kind of connect. If you're standing with your legs together, it looks like a big heart stitched on your backside.
And now it's like, going to be impossible to get those pants because you and 8 million other women ordered them Sunday night.
I am quite certain, though I did go online to shop for them. And if you want to get all up in arms about price tags, guess how much?
I don't even want to know. Yeah, you're going to tell me. Curiosity is going to get the best of me, and I'm going to say, how many thousands of dollars did they cost?
Probably more than Frank Gehry's new car.
Yes.
Let me begin by saying yours truly did not buy them.
Oh, they're up there.
That's right. And in Jonna's world, they were too much money. Right. They were a lot of money.
Wow. Now, this is going to surprise you because they were not. So I did not buy them yet, is what I should have said.
Oh, boy.
Because
they're out of stock.
Well, in many places they're out of stock. The color she was wearing was out of stock. But you can get them in regular denim color. I think she was wearing black or gray or something. But so even I have my limits. And the jeans are, if you go online and buy them, they were in between, they were averaging $795.
Oh, I thought you were going to say more than that.
No, which, you know, you would think. But even me, like, my limit is $795 $100 for a pair of jeans. Like, I might splurge on myself if there were a reason to. Like, I'm just not going to be all selfish and be like, yeah, I'm going to buy myself an $800 pair of jeans. But let's say if I had something to celebrate, instead of maybe going out to a fancy dinner or whatever, having a fancy bottle of champagne, I might say to myself, I'm going to treat myself to something I ordinarily wouldn't and buy myself a very expensive pair of jeans with the hope that I love them. Because remember, I told you what happened to me last time. I bought a pair of sneakers that were unreturnable. They were only $80. Could you imagine buying an $800 pair of jeans and not being able to return them?
Oh, God. No, Jonna. As a matter of fact, I just can't. Actually, you know what I could imagine? I could imagine going back to the 70s and buying a bedazzler and just making my own pair.
Oh,
okay? That's what I could do. I could just take a Sharpie and I could draw a heart on the butt of my jeans with a butt cheek in each half of the heart.
With a banana tail comb in the back pocket.
There you go.
Now, smarty pants, if you were sleeping on a grounding mat, that snarky little sarcastic yet brilliant idea of yours would come to fruition and you would have a second job selling your own bedazzled, magic marker hearted jeans on Etsy. And you would probably quit this job because you'd be making millions and you wouldn't need us no more.
He'd be a serial bedazzler.
That's right, exactly. And you know, I'm sorry, but you know, the first thing that popped into my head when all this came down was, do you remember the Ryan, I think it was Ryan O'Neill, a movie from probably back in the 70s called So Fine?
No. I don't.
It was a movie about a company that comes up with a pair of jeans where the butt of the jeans is two clear plastic windows.
Oh, they made those.
They did.
Yeah, well, there was a movie called So Fine about So Fine jeans. Yes. That's the first thing I thought of.
Those jeans were horrible. That was absolutely horrible. I wouldn't spend a dime on those. But yeah, so anyway, I did not buy them. They are, you know, like I said, I have my limit. So just before we are going to have to go to break in a second. Just curious. I'll start with Curly. What is the most amount of money you would be comfortable spending on an ordinary article of clothing? So not an evening gown, not you're going to a wedding or anything like that. Just like a nice dress or a nice pair of jeans or a nice shirt. Like, What's your limit where you start to sweat and get all itchy if you spend more than X?
Yeah, I'm not a big shopper. That's really a hard question to answer.
Mm.
And it would, so I don't frequently shop. Let's put it this way. I'm different from you in that way. So if I came across something and I absolutely loved it,
yeah,
my limit would probably be fairly high because it's not like I'm shopping every day. I hardly ever shop. So if I say I came across a pair of jeans, tried them on, and like, oh my God, these make me super happy. They're $150. I would buy them. I'm not doing that every day.
Well, now you've just proven to me that you do not shop very often. Because
every jean's $150.
I was just going to say, because you can't buy nothing for $150.
Are more than $150 these days. I know, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Remember, like back when we were kids, you had Levi's. They were like $30 or something. That was probably a lot back then.
Fashion.
That was, or Jordache. Remember that whole thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Gloria Vanderbilt. There was another one that the name is escaping me. Sure, Calvin Klein.
Z Cavaricci. Wasn't that a jacket,
though? Z Cavaricci. That was one.
And there was also, like, for guys, there were, you know, you said Levi's, but there was also Lee jeans. And then there were Wranglers.
Wranglers still out and about, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Levi's, yeah.
Now, when it comes to me, Jonna, when it comes to spending money, it depends on how many Kmarts I can find that are going out of business.
You get really good deals.
You do, because they start off at like 30% off. But if you wait, eventually things are 70% off a week before they're closing up shop.
Nothing is better than getting a genuine pair of or any article of clothing that's not a knockoff for like $8 because they just got to move it.
That's it. And if you're a guy like me that lives in sweatpants, you don't have to worry about ordering stuff from Amazon because it's never more than $15 a pop.
Well,
Jonna, how often do you do a clearing at your house? How often do you go through and clear stuff out with the amount of shopping you do? Do you practice clearing often?
Very nice. Very nice. The only thing that could have made that signal better is if you said, how often do you deeply clear?
You know what? I have to add the effects of crowd noise underneath that one. You know, like exuberant crowd noise right after a team has scored a touchdown. I'm going to put that right underneath.
Okay. So with that wonderful Sagu, we have coming up after the break, John Ruskin. He is the author of Deep Clearing, which is a book that is, like I mentioned, blowing me away. It's all about how to balance your emotions, let go of inner and outer negativity, and shift to higher consciousness. We're going to be speaking with him, John Ruskin, as soon as we get back.
All right. That sounds good. It is John Spilbor. It is Carol Pesci. And it is Frankenberry, the guy who won't spend more than $15 on any item of clothing. And we will be back with that guest. So please stick around.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back again to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci and just some guy. And it's time now to get to our guest for today. And Jonna, I know you've been blown away by reading John Ruskin's book. So why don't you introduce him to us?
Yes, as I mentioned, as I teased before the break, I am headlong into the audio version of our guest's latest book, which is entitled Deep Clearing, Balance Your Emotions, Let Go of Inner and Outer Negativity, and Shift to Higher Consciousness. We are joined here by its author, John Ruskin. Let me tell you a little bit about him. John Ruskin has maintained a lifelong journey for spiritual higher consciousness. In 1994, he published Emotional Clearing, a guide for releasing suppressed negative feelings by means of a unique inner focus technique. John has worked for the last 30 years as a holistic psychotherapist, consulting with clients, training other therapists to become emotional clearing facilitators. And now he's published his latest book, as I mentioned, Deep Clearing, which updates his work for the present world. John is also the creator of the podcast, The Emotional Clearing Process, and we will remind you where to find that later in the show. So without further ado, John Ruskin, welcome to Happy Hour.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me. You know, it's kind of nostalgic and maybe even deja vu to speak with you because my very first girlfriend in New York City was named Jonna.
There's no way. There's no way.
But she had an H. Jonna Kirkland, a young ballet dancer. But that was the first time I ever heard of that name and haven't heard of it since you. It's a very unusual, enchanting name. So it's kind of nostalgic for me to be here.
Well, thank you for that. And I love when I hear similar stories, which is not very often, but they always, the other Jonna is always spelled with an H. John, I was singing your praises before the break because, as I mentioned to our listeners and to you, so I'm listening to the audio version of Deep Clearing. I have literally been blown away. I just want to give you a little history of me and Carol. And we are self-help, I'm putting that in air quotes, junkies. And we read a lot of material on this subject. And I am finding that deep clearing is turning a lot of what is out there on its ear. So if you don't mind, I want our listeners to hear the book summary and we can use that as a jumping off point. I'm going to tell you about deep clearing. So here's what John says. Negativity is rampant in the world today, which is so true, but it will most severely affect you when you harbor negative energies within. If you're clear on the inside, the outside can't touch you.
Right.
Inner negativity is trapped in the subconscious and becomes known to us as painful feelings and emotion. Based on a unique synthesis of Eastern mindfulness principles and humanistic Western psychology, the Deep Clearing Program empowers you with a feeling-based holistic self-therapy process that will clear the subconscious, overcome depression, release negative energies, compulsions, and addictions, heal emotional wounds, including all types of trauma, and raise your vibe. Now, John, you're going to be able to explain this a lot better than me. How does this, first of all, tell us about the technique, because you describe, most people think that, oh, if I change the way I think, I can cure myself of depression and I can change my life. You're saying, no, not so fast. You got to change the way you feel. You got to get rid of the negative energy in order to make change.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so much of New Age emphasis these days is about changing your thinking, law of attraction, as you just said, but it neglects the subconscious. And what's trapped in the subconscious is this kind of negativity that becomes known to us as feelings and emotions. So no matter how much you try to change your thinking, to bring, you know, new and improved things into your life, if you've got this negativity in the subconscious, it just can't work. And in fact, if you start thinking along the lines of affirmations that are contrary to what's held in the subconscious, I feel it can actually trigger the negative subconscious to bring about, you know, exactly what you don't want. So that's kind of the starting point of where we are. Do you want me to continue with the...
I do, because, you know, this is, in 20 minutes, it's hard to take some of these concepts that are very, you know...
Yeah, that's exactly right. And let me just remind the audience that these concepts are kind of subtle and philosophical, and you need to really digest them. Maybe the first important concept that I could discuss would be that of what we call emotional self-rejection. Now, we've all heard about self-rejection, and we know that that's undesirable from a psychological standpoint, but usually we don't think about emotional self-rejection. So what is that? So emotional self-rejection is this negative, disapproving, judgmental attitude that we have towards our negative feelings. You know, we can have sadness, loneliness, depression, anger, or fear, but usually we're resistant about these feelings. We don't want them. We make these feelings wrong. And so this whole attitude of resistance and unconscious rejection of our negative feeling states is what does not allow these feelings to, first of all, release from their trapped place in the subconscious. But when they come up, and this is what happened in the past, presumably, these feelings came up, they were not allowed to complete their natural cycle, which allows them to dissipate, but they become stopped in their tracks because of the unconscious resistance that we apply to them. And then they become lodged in the subconscious. And that's kind of the unique feature of the subconscious, that if feelings are not allowed to complete their cycle and totally dissipate, they do become stuck in the subconscious. So that, you know, that's really kind of an amazing concept to think of. And many people might not even be aware of that. And they just think, if I can just have the correct thoughts, I can move in the right direction. But these trapped feelings, or trapped energies, we might say, that are stuck in the subconscious, that's what draws your experience to you. So if you have, you know, a consistent type of experience in your life, whether it's attracting failure or abusive partners or loneliness or fear-inducing situations, this can usually be attributed to those kinds of feelings held in the subconscious. So, and, you know, this really equates to the spirit, to the Eastern concept of karma. If you're holding negativity in the subconscious, you attract negative experiences and even people to you. And that happens because these negative energies and feelings in the subconscious are trying to make themselves known so they can be released. But if, you know, if you have a difficult negative experience in your life, the feelings come up, whether it's I'm being rejected. I'm getting angry. I'm feeling like I'm being manipulated or used. I'm feeling like I have a sense of emotional neediness that encourages me to latch on to people and things in an emotionally dependent way. Whenever that comes up, if we reject those feelings through unconscious resistance, they just get pushed back into the subconscious, and we're in that stuck place again. So, you know, I found from my, I might mention that's really interesting. My first book, Emotional Clearing, came out in 1995 and was picked up by Random House in 2000. And right away, I started getting requests for counseling, even though I had no formal training or credentials in psychology. But I was able to build a substantial counseling practice for the next 20, 25 years based only on the principles in this book. And I think that's because the people who came to me, many of them had experience with left brain psychotherapy, but they realized that what I was offering and suggesting was a right-brained approach to the subconscious. And that's one of the keys about this approach. It's not primarily left brain, although there are some things to learn. You know, left brain is logical and focused on doing, getting things done. Right brain is intuitive, creative, more in tune with the emotions. So moving into a right brain feeling mode is the essence of this therapy. And you can do that either on your own by learning the techniques that are in the book. You know, it's a meditative alpha state technique, or you can work with a counselor who I've trained and are listed on my website. But this approach, you know, I spent my whole life, I was initiated very early on into Kriya Yoga and had a dedicated yoga practice since the late 1960s, actually. And I didn't really find either in the Eastern paths or in Western psychotherapy, which I never really had, but I am a voracious reader like you. I never really found a path that was focused on releasing trapped emotions, even if it was in Buddhism or yoga. And they mostly advocated whenever negative feelings come up, just become a loving person. So for me, that amounts to emotional self-rejection. You're denying your negative feelings. You're not allowing those feelings to come up. So I had to really invent a technique which helped me, because certainly I'm a normal person. I have had a lot of emotional issues, and I didn't find what I wanted in the regular paths. So that's how I put this technique together. So it's a technique of going inside, and it has four primary steps. Do you want me to get into the steps now?
I just want to make a point. I do personally, but I just want to make a point to what you're saying, that I have experienced exactly what you're describing firsthand, that I think positive thinking is helpful and has its place, but there is a thing called toxic positivity that we judge normal human emotions of sadness, anger, frustration. They're all normal. They all have the capacity to serve us. So we judge them. We think we shouldn't feel them. We reject them. All they do is build up in the body, exactly like you said, and show up either as an explosive personality, or you have rage, or an illness. And we are so much better off, your step number one, to just say, okay, this is normal. Let it be there. Process it. Let it move on and release it, rather than judging it, suppressing it, which you actually perpetuate the negative emotion that you want to get away from to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
Thank you, John. And we're not done yet with our talk with John Ruskin here on Happy Hour with John Spilborn and Carol Pesci. But we are just going to take a short break, and we will be right back.
Somewhere there's a river rushing through the woods while someone rushes through their day. There's a mountain looking up at the sky while someone looks down at their phone. A trail waiting to be walked while someone waits for a latte. This world is full of somewheres waiting for someone just like you. So go see yours at 154 National Forests and 20 Grasslands. And to learn more, visit nationalforests.org. The National Forest Foundation. See your somewhere.
And now back to more with John Ruskin on his new book, Deep Clearing. Balance your emotions, let go of inner and outer negativity, shift to higher consciousness, a radical inner process.
So tell us, John, because I think a lot of people, me included, like sometimes if you're having a negative thought, like you can't tell the difference between a negative thought and a negative feeling. So I suppose if you knew the process of how to clear, you can apply it anyway, and then the negative feelings will get cleared. So what can you, in a nutshell, give us kind of how you would do this on your own? How do you start clearing the negative feelings?
Yeah. So, well, actually, you're bringing up a good point. There is a difference between feelings and thoughts. So, you know, a thought would be, I need to do this to solve my emotional issue. But the emotional feeling behind the thought or the impulse might be something like, it could be anger or sadness or loneliness. We always distinguish between the kinds of feelings that are coming up. Between there are first level emotions and then core feelings. So a first level emotion might be sadness, but the core feeling behind that could be rejection or loneliness, working on a heart level. Or the first level emotion might be anger, but the core feeling might be I'm being manipulated or used. That's another kind of core feeling. So eventually, we want to get to the core feeling, although often the core feeling is not immediately apparent, and all we have is the first level emotion to go on. So let's say you had the first level emotion, whatever it is, anger, fear, sadness, things like that. So there are the four steps that constitute the emotional clearing process. And these steps occur on the mental, intellectual, mental, emotional, and spiritual levels. It's useful to realize or to stay aware of what level of being you're working on. First step, intellectual, is awareness. And this means several things. First of all, trying to become aware of the feeling behind the event that comes up. And many times we just react explosively without really looking too deeply inside into what's happening. So try to find the feeling and hold back a little bit on any kind of reactive behavior. Now, second part of awareness is to understand projection. This is a Western psychological concept. Projection, we've probably all heard about projection, but you probably haven't really taken it to the level where it can be really useful for you. Projection means you think that someone or something else is making you feel a certain way. The way we look at projection is that the feeling is already inside you, suppressed, stored from the past. Now, it can be from the recent past or the childhood past or even the past life past, if you want to go in that direction. But you've got this subconscious, which contains all these suppressed feelings. It gets projected and even attracts experiences to you, as I was saying earlier. So this is part of the first step, awareness. Realize or just make the assumption, if you can't really realize it fully, that a projection is in process. So that kind of puts you 180 degrees from your usual stance of reactiveness and blame. So understanding projection allows you to drop blame, own the experience. And this is really crucial because if you're in blame, even if it's unconscious blame, you know, you're blaming the government, the climate change, the politics, everybody is so much in blame these days. And when you're in blame, you really can't move forward. You have to stop blame, take responsibility, own your experience, and that enables that enables you to move forward. You're not really working yet, but that enables you to start working. So the second step is awareness. Acceptance. This is on a mental level where you move into a place of deliberate, conscious acceptance of the feelings that you are aware of. Now, this is to negate the unconscious resistance that you've been more or less, deliberately applying to negative feelings. So you look deeply within, you try to find the resistance, and you try to put it aside. Now, by the way, this all takes place in a meditative alpha state. You're going into a meditative state, either on your own or with the guidance of a facilitator. You're meditating, you're going into alpha, you're relaxing, and this is where the subconscious becomes conscious. So in this place, in this alpha state, feelings come up. You take responsibility, and then you look for the resistance. Let's say it's loneliness, to continue our example. So like someone just pointed out earlier, you know, we've got this unconscious resistance, rejection of the loneliness. So stop rejecting it. Stop making it wrong. Now, this doesn't mean that you need to go to the opposite extreme and to love your feelings, as some people would say. It just means to drop the resistance. Come to a place of a kind of neutral recognition of your feelings as they are. So you just recognize, okay, I have loneliness. I'm not going to resist it. I'm going to move to the next stage. And just to reiterate, feelings become suppressed when they're not allowed to complete their natural cycle because they've been resisted. Now, the next stage is direct experience. This means coming into a feeling level in the body with the emotion as you're perceiving it. Now, this is kind of the tricky part, because if you don't have too much experience with meditation, it might be difficult to get into a place of just being present with your feeling. It means you have to come into the moment. Coming into the moment means going beyond the mind, dropping the mind. This is kind of what Eckhart Tolle talks about. It's all about just being present with no judgmentalism, being choicelessly present with what's happening in your feeling body, your feeling self. It means you're not thinking about the feeling. You're not thinking about what to do about it. You're just feeling it. You're coming into this place. It's like an altered state, just being present on an energetic level with this energy in your body that we perceive as a feeling or emotion. You want to move to an energetic level of perceiving this feeling in your body. I can't emphasize this enough, that this is the place where most people will get stuck, because they're just going to wind up thinking about their feeling. So once you're in this place of direct experience, then you shift into witnessing, which is the spiritual dimension. Witnessing means to move even further into that place of disidentifying with the lower self, body, emotions, or mind, shifting up into a higher consciousness place, just watching our lower self, emotions, body, mind, and being present. And it's this sense of just being present, fully experiencing, choicelessly, without resisting and rejecting. That's what allows the feeling to finally complete its cycle from wherever it originated in the past, no matter when that was, and release. And you can be working with a present event. You know, if you've experienced rejection. Now, you could trace that back to childhood event, traumatic event, where you experienced rejection and abandonment. But of course, that would just be caused by a past life event of rejection. Or you could trace it back to a present life experience where you just had a relationship and you experienced rejection in this recent relationship. But you can work with the present relationship. You don't necessarily need to go back to the past. Unless that comes up spontaneously. When I'm working with clients, we always try to stay in the present whenever possible. So the point is that your feelings from the past have become projected into the present and attract this present experience to you. So if you work with your present feelings of being rejected, you can eliminate the past feelings.
John, this is fascinating. And I have one, we do have to wrap up with you, but I do have one quick question before.
Sure.
Because I'm gonna practice this whole four-step process myself when I'm completed with the book.
Okay.
Do you have to, is it important or integral that you identify the source of the negative feeling, or can you just acknowledge that you have a negative feeling and still move through these four steps? And we do have to answer quickly, though.
Yeah, you don't have to identify the source. If you just stay with the feeling, it will, according to what I just said, the feeling will integrate. And usually at that point, any kind of intellectual understanding that you need will make itself known. So you'll get the understanding later, but the important thing is just stay with the feeling now.
We have been speaking with John Ruskin, who's just had you're a lifelong expert on this emotional transcendental consciousness stuff, for lack of a better word. Your most recent book is entitled Deep Clearing. It will teach you how to go through this four-step process on your own. You can also do this with the help of a facilitator. It expands on his previous book, which was entitled Emotional Clearing. And for the record, John also has a podcast that you can find wherever podcasts are sold called The Emotional Clearing Process, which it sounds like, John, that's a good companion to the book Deep Clearing, yes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we really thank you for we could go on, and we really thank you for your time here today, John. And we, I'm going to report back to you because this is really fascinating to me, and I can't wait to attempt it myself.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, John.
All right, John, thank you so much for joining us today. And we're not done with Happy Hour just yet. We still have more. Segment number three is coming up with Jonna Spillbore and Carol Pesci and well, me. Sorry about that part. So please stick around. We'll be right back.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spillbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello. Frankenberry.
So, John Ruskin definitely had some thoughts that people could take with them and things that they could use.
I know it sounds like a lot, but if you listen to the book, it you can break it down succinctly and look. Give this a shot. Like a lot of times when he talks in the book or even in our interview, I have these aha moments like, that's me. That's me. And so, you know, why not give this a shot if that could be the resolution to your problems? You know, it reminds me, I'm not going to name names, but it's somebody who I know posted a post recently on Facebook that said something like, good. It's something like good people, it doesn't pay to be good because good people just get used. It doesn't pay to be, if you're good because you want to be loved, you're doing it the wrong way because you're just going to get used. It was something like that. It was a real negative thought. And immediately when I read that, I'm like, well, who does good things to be loved by others? Like, why don't you do good things because you love to do good things or you love yourself? And it's an example of talking with John and looking at somebody else's negative comment. I'm saying to myself, that person needs to go through this process because obviously there's some deep-seated feeling that is making that person think that, oh, good people get used, right? Instead of good people or whatever.
An underlying subconscious belief.
Right. And we all have them. The point is we all had, you know, maybe not quite that one, but other negative thoughts that we believe to our core, and they come out as these thoughts and feelings. And if you want to get rid of those, I think this book is the answer.
I've talked about this. I wrote about it in Hello Beautiful, how I thought being a happy person meant a positive outlook all the time. And generally speaking, I do have a positive outlook. But I completely, if I felt sad about something, I was like, whoa, no, I'm all about happiness, you know. Don't let that. And I just kept pushing it down. And I never was diagnosed, but I wouldn't be surprised if I was diagnosably depressed. Mm-hmm. And I came around to understand just what I said to him in the interview, that we do ourselves a great disservice when we judge and reject normal human emotions.
Right.
They all serve us somehow. If you're feeling sad, let yourself be sad. If something, you lost something or you regret something or you're feeling, let it be there. Let that emotion process itself instead of push. It ain't going away. It's just going to go gather with all the other ones you push down until you lose your crap one day. So, and I learned this personally the hard way. And this is the process that he's teaching us, is to be in tune to those feelings. And let them, and he teaches you a process to let naturally process them so they can move on and out of you, and you can elevate yourself, your energy, your mood, everything. You'll feel better, ironically, by allowing yourself to feel these quote unquote negative emotions.
Life changing. And I always,
I'm
always worried that I won't be able to successfully do the things needed to clear the feelings, but I'm going to give this one a shot. Especially now that I have a grounding mat that's giving me nothing but brilliant edible paper and mayonnaise in the tuna cans ideas. So I'm set up for success, you guys.
I started reading his book. I'm anxious to finish it. It really is interesting.
Yes, Bill Blazejowski would be very, very proud of you there, Jonas Billboard.
Well, thank you.
Well, thanks to John Ruskin for joining us today. Much appreciated. And we will be back again next week, as we always do, you know, like some sort of, I don't know, Groundhog Day thing. But we will return.
Grounding hog.
That's right, a grounding hog.
somebody hogs a bed at your house now. Are they a grounding hog?
that's right. Or in Jonna's case, if you ever read her Facebook page, a grounding chinchilla.
Honey badger.
Yes, exactly. We'll be back next week with more from Jonna Spillbore and Carol Pesci. I'm Frankenberry, and until then, please have a safe week and be good.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spillbore and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.